Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I'm going to read a prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, we bow our knees to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, that we may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, to the end that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now we are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen and amen. And Father, we just thank you for your glory upon us that falls upon us tonight. Father, we ask that your gifts be in operation tonight in each and every one of us, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven tonight, and that when we pray, you listen, Lord. And we know that when you listen, you act, and we praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for answering all of our prayers, protecting all of your elect all over the world. And Father, we thank you that there's going to be healings, deliverances of all kinds here shortly amongst all the people of the world when revival starts. We're looking for that, Father. We're looking for that anointing, that glory that you're going to pour out on your people, Father, to bring in the biggest part of the kingdom of heaven ever, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for getting us ready to meet that demand, to be the disciples that you want us to be, to make disciples that you want us to make. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in each and every one of us. We command darkness out of our hearts. We command we thank you, Lord, for your love replaced in our hearts of you for everybody that we meet. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be an awesome time tonight. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? I pray God's protection on Dirk and Paula, Petra, Monroe and Janine, Joe and Nora. Who am I missing? Will and Louise and his grandmother, and all of your elect in South Africa, Lord. We thank you, Father, that your big warrior angels are out there right now surrounding them, and they ain't going to get anywhere around them. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for provisions. We thank you, Lord, when everybody else is out, they're going to have it to give. And we praise you for it, Father, because you are the multiplier. And we praise you, Lord, for all that you're going to do from this point on in South Africa. Because we know, Lord, revival going to start. Glory to God. We know it. Praise God forevermore. And we just thank you, Lord, for putting bold faith in each and every one of your disciples there in South Africa. Because we know that they can stand down an army. Because we know your army's behind them. And you got a bigger army than their army. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. We got a bigger gun than they got. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. And your elect in these other countries that are being persecuted, Father, we thank you for putting great and bold faith in them to declare and decree your promises, Father, in each and every one of them. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Father, for your protection upon them too. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in these countries. In Jesus' name, amen. In our country too. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anybody else? Glory to God. I believe that. Y'all believe that? And not one hair is going to be damaged on any of God's people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else need prayer? Or want to pray about something? Glory to God, we've been fasting and y'all ain't got nothing to pray about. Come on now. Don't make me jump in there. Glory to God. Come on now. I've been pumped up this afternoon, reading God's word, listening to the Lord. You know what he said? Go fast yourself and find out. Amen. Somebody needs to smile in this group. Good gracious sakes alive. When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with y'all. All right, Missy, help me out, girl.
I don't think I most know about the fasting thing because Dave just put up there, you're fasting?
Oh, well, yes. Well, we are here locally and we're fasting to pray for each other. I've been praying for y'all. Other people have been praying for y'all. And we're praying that God would get us ready for this great happening that's fixing to take place. God has told us to do that. And he also told us to study Ephesians chapter 4. And he actually specified which verses to study and to meditate on. And that was, help me out here, Missy and Julie. I believe it was 1-7, something like that. I think it's 1-7. And then 17 to the end. Those verses there. He said, study and meditate on them. Because that's who we're supposed to be. Yeah, Lana.
Hey, I wanted to share a quick testimony to encourage and edify our brothers and sisters here. I was listening to David's teaching from Sunday night, and he mentioned that the Lord had told him that one of the reasons why we're not seeing things come to pass on the larger scale with all these world events is because, I don't remember his exact words, but basically because so many of the elect and so many of the believers are still getting caught up in the news instead of focusing on walking by faith. And so I thought to myself, oh, you know, I haven't been caught up in this stuff. And sorry, I'm driving. But I on my computer, on my laptop that I use not every day, I have a handful of news pages open that I refresh regularly, and I'll just glance at them. If something catches my eye, I'll read it. If it doesn't, I just move on, and I check through all these pages, and then I move on. And this is usually at bedtime, and then I'll just close my computer and set it aside, my laptop, and, you know, the next day I go on. And it's been really heavy on my heart that I seem to still not have a desire. Well, let me put it this way. I seem to not be able to make the most of my mornings. The Lord has been gracious to me to get me out of bed early and give me the energy and motivation to get out of bed to spend time with him. But I feel like I'm very inefficient with that time, and I can't seem to overcome that. And as David was speaking, I realized that I might not be engrossed in comparison to what engrossed meant to me in the past, caught up in these news and the apps and the websites, but I have left doors open. I had those set of news pages on my computer open, and I was able to access them almost nightly if I wanted to, as long as I, you know, felt like opening my computer to do something. And it just, the Lord kind of worked it through in my heart that this is what was causing my blockage, was that I had left these doors open and they were given access to spirits to interfere with me, to create chaos, to leave my prayers unanswered, especially little things that are bothering me physically throughout this pregnancy. I can't seem to cast them down and overcome them. So praise the Lord, he led me to meditate on this long enough to realize that you don't have to be caught up in the news. You just got to leave a couple doors open. And that's enough to cause trouble in your spiritual life and put the brakes on until you confess and the Lord sets you free to go forward and walk by faith again and do his will and walk in the power of prayer and everything else that he wants us to be doing. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah, that was, if I hope everybody listened to that, that was a good exhortation and idea about what we should be doing rather than allowing these distractions to take us away from the word and what we should be doing. All right. Anyone else? I have to apologize to everybody for not sending out this fasting thing. I got caught up in the moment, I guess is the best I can say. So, but anyway, there are some that are fasting all week with one meal, some that are doing just water, some that are doing just a complete fast, some for 3 days. So whatever the Lord, you know, leads you, if you want to fast, just go ahead and do that. And what we're doing, we're praying for each other to bring us into that not being distracted realm. Yeah, Claire.
As you said my name, I finally got the noise to stop. Thank you, Jesus. I would like us to pray for Taiwan. Mm-hmm. I will do it. Lord, we know that your arm is not too short. Father, we know that you do all things well. And we know that you have your elect all over the globe. And we know that whether there is a threat of loss of liberty and personal freedom, whether there is a threat of imminent danger, physical harm, or whether there is pending vaccination mandates that are coming, Lord, we know that you will protect those who belong to you, and you will make a way where there seems to be no way, and you will do all those things. But Father, we know that you will do them through your saints who agree mm-hmm. with your word and pray and who do warfare. So Father, I am waging war against the enemy in Taiwan specifically right now, Lord, against any thoughts or deeds or plans that are contrary to what your word says about protecting your elect in those countries, Lord. And we know that there is nothing that you cannot do. So Father, I rebuke those plans in the name of Jesus. And I pray a spirit of strengthening and emboldening in the saints that are there. I pray that they will come together in a mighty way and that they will feel the Holy Spirit rest on them and that they will have peace and not fear, because your Son is the Prince of Peace. He is not the author of confusion. I rebuke all confusion and fear and anxiety and ill health in the name of Jesus. All lying spirits of infirmity must cease and desist the attack on our brethren in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would let the word that has been planted and that has been growing in our brothers and sisters in Taiwan to burst forth now, Lord, and to be made manifest for that 30, 60, and 100-fold glory that you speak of, that we agree with, so that they will be able to stand. And when they have done everything, Lord, that they will be able to stand and rest on your promises. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. We put our faith together with Claire, considered as so. And we also come against, we break the power of the Chinese Communist Party that's interfering in Taiwan right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that this special op forces that's over there now would bring them down quickly in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anyone else? And Lord, I just pray for everyone here and those that are listening. I pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in them, that you would take that distraction spirit out of each and every one of us, and that you would place in us a hunger for the word once again, to go back to that first thing, that first love that we had. And I thank you for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name. That nothing would distract us from you from now on, because you're the news. You're the news. You're the only news that we need. Because you'll tell us when things happen. You'll tell us what to pray for. You'll tell us what to pray against. And Father, we praise you that you're going to do that in each and every one of us from this point on. And Lord, put it in us to stay in the Spirit, to be led by your Spirit, Lord, in everything that we do. And we thank you, Father, for doing that. Strengthen us with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us all with your Holy Spirit to overflowing, Lord, that when we go out on the streets, people will marvel at the light that's around us, Lord. And they want to know, what is that? What is that? And we can explain to them, it's the love of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for this mighty revival over in the Middle East. Thank you, Father, for peace in those countries over there. They never had peace before. And we praise you for doing that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to do this all over the world where your people are. That's going to be the signs and the wonders, the love of Christ in people's hearts, even for the worst enemy. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to do that in us. And place it in us to have a relationship with you like we've never had before. That we listen to you, the things that you want to tell us, Lord, are mighty, mighty for us. And we thank you, Lord, that I believe that you're going to do it for the ones who want it. He'll give us everything that we want, that we can receive, that we will receive. And if you want it all, you'll get it all. Father, you've told me that, and I praise you. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, that that's what's going to happen. Most everybody here is going to surrender all to you so that they can receive all from you, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God, it's done. Okay. Yes. Amen. Anybody else? Ooh, I feel the Holy Spirit. God gracious. I saw him last night. First time I've seen a sheet of fire. I ain't never seen myself some sheet of fire. I saw one last night, Lord of God, in the local fellowship. I wish y'all was there. It was so awesome. It's right over Brandy. Sheet of fire, yeah. It was a rectangular sheet of fire, and it had waves all in it. I said, glory to God, looky there. Woo! My. It's right there in front of me. I told Brandy likes to jump out of his skin. Praise God. It was awesome. Yeah, Geneva, go ahead.
Hey, Brother Michael. Can you all hear me?
Hey. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Today, I just want to, this is more just praise real quick. Today I was eating some lunch and I was by myself at the house. And then next thing I know, I started choking on a piece of corn, and I've never choked before on anything, but I like literally couldn't breathe. And I don't know, thank God, I just felt the Lord like use my hand, and I punched my chest as hard as I could. And that piece of corn like flew out of my mouth and I started breathing and I was like, thank you, Jesus. Like I was so happy, but that was really scary. But that was the Lord that gave me fast reflexes real quick. Cause it's crazy. Like when you freak out like that, it's like you have like 10 million thoughts go through your mind all at once. So anyways, I just want to thank the Lord for that, because that was frightening.
Amen. I'm coming home, Jesus. I'm coming home.
That was me.
Oh my. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, it ain't your time yet. Anybody else? Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. We'll just go through them slowly. I'm going to read 1 through 3 first. And y'all just tell me what you think it means. Just tell me what you think, you know. Some of you have looked at this before. It's a great, the Lord told it. I forget, Missy, who it was that had this. Was that Anna?
Vanessa,
yeah. That was Vanessa had it. Told her which ones to underline and which ones to meditate on the most. And I think I put that in the email. Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I think those were the ones that were underlined. So I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling, of the calling, of the calling wherewith you were called. What does that mean? What is it? What are we called to? Missy? Julie? Anybody
else? Walk in the steps of Jesus. Walk as he walked the world, even as he is, even so are we in this world.
Amen. We're called to manifest Jesus in our walk, isn't it? Yeah, just like she said. What's a prisoner in the Lord? Yeah, Julie.
A bond servant or a servant to Jesus.
Amen. If we're a prisoner in the Lord, we're free, aren't we? We're free. Anybody else on this number one? Call to be sons. Yes, Missy.
You said we're free. I'd like to put out a question. Free from what?
All right. There's the question. Look, you two. Somebody else needs to get their hand up here. Go ahead, Julie. I'm just kidding.
I would y'all say we are.
Y'all been talking.
I haven't talked to Missy since last evening.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
And we didn't talk about this either.
And we had no idea about this. So,
well, okay. I know.
I'm just.
Go ahead, Julie.
Amen. What prisoner. Pat just said, we're free from our old lives. We're free from sin. We're free from the nature of sin. We're free from the curse of the law. We're free from this world. We're free from whatever, you know, every promise that God's given us, Jesus redeemed us and set us free from everything that we ever were. We're free to follow him because because he paid for it. He redeemed us with his life's blood, and he gave us himself. And when you recognize and how much what you've been given in Christ, you are willingly following the Lord. And it's not because you have to, like a servant has to, it's because you want to, like a son wants to please his father and do the father's work. So we're free from all of the old life, the old nature, the old character, the sinfulness, the yuck stuff we were that we hate. He set us free from all of that.
Amen. That's true. Go ahead, Missy.
I like to say basically what covers everything that Julie said was the curse. Curse, you know, for the law of the spirit of life has made me free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death. The curse of sin and death. And that just covers everything.
Yeah. We're also free from self, right? If we do this thing right, we're free from self. Also. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, free from the flesh. All flesh. No flesh will glory before God. Yeah.
Amen. That's a big one. When you get free from flesh, you get free. You get real free. Go ahead, Judy. I'll get you in a minute.
We're free from the powers of darkness that had us in bondage. You know, Satan had us in bondage. And we're free from that too.
Amen. Amen. We're free from that old life that we had. Go ahead, Dave.
I would say you have to be set free from the Lord in order to have that freedom. So we claim it by faith, but if there's still something in your life that's holding you back, you're not free yet. So the idea is to examine where you might not have freedom in the Lord yet. Now, if you feel like Satan or something's trying to come on you and put you back in bondage, that's where our job is to come in and pray it down and cast it down and see any kind of issues that might be hindering us along the way. But the Lord is here to set us free and keep us free. So we don't want to allow anything to impede that freedom, because when we're not free, we can't serve him the way we'd like to serve him.
Amen. Amen. But the Lord can set us free. Just like Dave's talking about. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to act like Jesus. And when you act like Jesus, you're going to be like Jesus. Remember 1 Corinthians 3:18? Go by that mirror, and you look in that spiritual mirror, and you see Jesus, and you claim it, you walk it, and he'll do it. That's the freedom that God wants. Yeah, Dave.
I want to say that when we come together here in this group, I mean, sometimes there might be some people that still have some things we need to get delivered from. That's fine. That's what we're here for. That's the body of Christ. But you have probably more freedom here. You have that ability to walk in the Lord and express it and learn and grow. But you might get around others, which I did, you know, recently. You get around, you know, family members that are of a religious spirit, and they're not free yet. And you can see that, you know. I mean, so recognizing the freedom that you do have, and then knowing that there's others that aren't set free. You know, even though they think they've got something, you can see that they're still hindered in their walk one way or another.
That's a good point. When you get around like-minded believers, you're a whole lot freer than you are when you're around religious people. But praise God. Yeah, Missy, by faith, we're set free. Until we manifest it too, we're going to manifest it. Everybody that believes it and wants it has got it. And the way to keep it is to stay in the Word. Pray in the Spirit. Have that personal relationship with the Lord. It's so awesome. All right. Who's next? All right. Let's see here. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called. To walk worthily of the, what is to walk worthily? I think we're fixing to get into it. Okay, go ahead, Judy.
The first thing that came to me is to walk as he walked, to walk as Christ walked. You know, and to walk worthily, he's the only one that can make me worthy, you know, so it's a faith, it's all faith, it all comes back, I think, to faith, because I can't do it. He has to change me and continuing to change me and sanctify me and cause me to walk worthily and learning my, that everything comes from him, the strength and the ability come from him to do that. But it's fighting against sin. It's fighting against, you know, fighting the good fight of the faith against all those things and obedience to him so that, you know, he can manifest that in us.
Amen. I think verse 2 kind of puts this walking worthily in perspective. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What is with all lowliness? Let's go through each one of these and see what we can get out of these. I know this is kind of short notice for y'all, but and I apologize, but we can probably scratch through it tonight and go through it some more Thursday night. Yes, Claire.
I just got this word this morning, which I think adds to this. It's James 4, verse 6, which says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore the scripture saith, God resisteth the proud, but give grace to the humble." So meekness is the ability to have restraint, like Moses. He was the meekest person on earth. And Jesus is the other person who was probably, well, the only person more meek than Moses. But then we've got this humility, which Andrew Murray teaches on so beautifully, but which the Lord tells us exactly what we get for being humble. We get grace. And if we, that's not self-deprecating. That's just understanding where our power comes from, knowing our place in the universe. And it's very, that in itself is very humbling. But it also gives you power. You know you're a royal. If you know you are royal, you are the son of God. My goodness. Nothing that compares to that.
You're talking about Andy. I quoted this the other night. If we had, this is what Andy said. He said, if we had the infinite love of God dwelling in us, we would have a wonderful tenderness, gentleness, meekness, and humility in dealing with people. The chief quality of Christ Jesus that makes him so pleasing to the Father is his humility. Remember what he said in Matthew 11:29? Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's what he wants us to be, not proud and self-centered kind of stuff, you know. Anybody else? Lowliness and meekness with long suffering. What's that? I hear that somebody preaches, they say, long suffering, Lord of God. Long suffering. Well, in my little finite mind, long suffering means patience. as much patience over and above what we normally have. Yes, Pat.
Sorry, this mute button keeps jumping around on me. Every time I go up to click on my picture there to put the mute on, another person jumps in front of me on the picture and shifts my screen over. I don't know if anybody has that problem. Anyway, I'm thinking of lowliness. Lowliness and gentleness. Lowliness is the foundation necessary for the rest of those aspects to happen. It's kind of built on one another. And I guess the thing that I was thinking about lowliness is the perspective, resting in the perspective that you esteem others as greater than yourself. And but being at rest in that perspective, or not being threatened by that. So it just hits me of more of a perspective, or I guess the Holy Spirit. But just being free and comfortable and at rest with seeing myself as lower, I guess. I don't, lower and higher doesn't seem to say it to me, but it's, but it's opposite from the world, because in the world, there's that perspective that is focused upon me getting the advantage in every relationship, or being, seeing myself as in command of all situations, or all relationships, or whatever it would be. But Jesus was comfortable with resting in that perspective, I guess, is the only thing I can think of, is in that perspective of weakness, or placing others above himself, or whatever it would be. So that was just a thing that kind of popped out at me about that. And gentleness is kind of follows lowliness. You are free to accept others as they are, not threatened by how they respond, react, or not react. And long-suffering, obviously, is the same, I guess, concept of a constant attitude of forgiveness, giving that one the benefit of the doubt, knowing that God will bring about the best in that person if he is allowed to do so. I don't know. I guess I'm just, excuse me, spouting off words right now, but it was just that lowliness kind of hit me there. But anyway, I'll shut up.
Okay, yeah, that's right. I was looking up. I'll tell you what that reminds me of Jesus being lowly, meek, quiet, gentle. You remember, I believe it was in John chapter 7, the woman caught in adultery. And it goes on into 8. The scribes and the Pharisees bringing a woman taken in adultery and having set her in the midst. And they said unto him, boy, they was mad, wasn't it? Glory to God, we caught her right in the act. What you going to do about it? You know, what you going to stone her? Where the law says to stone this woman. What you going to do about it? Jesus, kill us now. Come on now, you know. And Jesus, in his mild-mannered way, he just reached over and started writing in the sand. I don't know what he wrote, but he wasn't upset. He wasn't screaming back at him. And all he was doing was writing in the sand. And they kept on. And he kept on writing in the sand. And the oldest one left first. And he said, the one of you who has no sin, throw the first stone. Throw the stone. That's all he said. And I think he kept writing in the sand. And they all left. It wasn't a big argument. It wasn't anything but Jesus being humble and right. And it just went right straight to their heart with what he said. I have no idea what he scrolled in the sand. Apparently it didn't make any difference what he scrolled in the sand. It's what he said that counted. And that's, you know, I can see where we need to take on that type of attitude in our day-to-day life, you know. Just don't get upset at what's going on around you, because you know that God's there. He's got you in his hand. Just keep, and look, I'm learning too, so. Go ahead, Pat.
And in that time, when Jesus then reached down to that woman and he lifted her up and he said, where are your accusers? And she looked around and didn't see any. And he said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. And just the thought that the perspective, the aura that he was speaking from was that speaking of lowliness, of not judging, but esteeming that woman as greater than himself. And look at the impact upon that woman. Now, I don't know who that woman was. If she was later on mentioned as a disciple or whatever, but look at the impact that had on that lady as he saved her life, really, in that moment in time. So, and I was coming from that same spirit of lowliness and acceptance and non-judgmentalism. So, it's just amazing story.
Yeah. Go ahead, Barry.
It's Mrs. Barry.
All right, Mrs. Barry.
I like to meditate on this verse a lot in my prayer time. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And, you know, kind of equate that being yoked with Jesus is abiding in Christ. And, you know, in our own self, we can do nothing. But as we're yoked with Jesus, as we're abiding in him, as it's his life flowing through us to bear the fruit of his life, that's the only way that that we can do it, or at least that I can do it to any degree.
Amen.
We have, we grow grapes here, and, you know, I have a real good visual of that, of seeing what the vine looks like, and the vines coming off the branches coming off the vine, and then the grapes coming off the branch. But knowing that, you know, without the vine, the branch can't do anything, and it would even die. And without the branch, there wouldn't be fruit either, though. So it's his life flowing through us that, you know, makes us by faith in his grace, his redeeming blood sacrifice, faith that it's Christ in us, his spirit, his righteousness, his word made flesh, that we overcome and that we're able to do this. That's all.
Amen. Well, that vine, the good branches are going to have to be pruned every year too, don't they? They have to be pruned back in order for that vine to make a lot more for that year. And that makes for better growth. All right, Andrew.
Well, I was looking at the forbearance and the long suffering. You know, God is very forbearing toward us and long suffering toward us. You know, in Romans 2:4, it says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know, this forbearance is to restrain yourself, to hold back, to refrain from. He's being weak to the weak, most definitely. He's enduring for us. And, you know, it's the example in Romans 7 when Paul, in his early Christian life, wanted to be holy. He knew the law was holy, but God forbeared with him. He, you know, God doesn't have to forbear. You know, he's the Almighty God. And his goodness for us is, of course, in the fruits of the Spirit. All of these are fruits of the Spirit. This is what we want to attain to. And of course, it has to be gained to us through God's goodness, through this repentance that we want to desire from him. You know, Jesus said there's only one that's good, and that's God. And of course, we do receive the fruit of his, the fruit of goodness, because we have the fruit of the Spirit. We were given Christ. And we need to guard that deposit as much as God is guarding that deposit too. Anyway, that's what I'm looking at here. It's a weak to the weak thing. And he's teaching us weak to the weak because we got repentance. Everyone here got repentance at least once. Else we wouldn't be saved. Praise God.
Well, I was talking, but I don't know nobody hearing me. Hello, Edwin. Good to have you with us, brother. All right, go ahead, Julie. You raise your hand and wave. You're calling. All right, who's next? All right, let's go on here. Forbearing one another in love. Giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What'd that mean? That's a good one, Dave. Yep. No faction. That's what we have. Go ahead, Dave.
I can say if we look at that statement, that's the opposite of that would be faction. So we know faction doesn't want to keep unity and it doesn't want to have a bond of peace. It wants to cause separations and divisions in the body. It wants to strive with others. You know, it has that agenda inside of it. It thinks it has to work things up, you know. So our part is to stay diligent. We want to keep that unity of the Spirit and that bond of peace. So, you know, anything that's going to bring disunity is going against what the Lord wants in the body. And he wants peace at all costs, because if you're trying to take away the peace of the body, that's not Christ. We know that. Jesus was always, whenever he was with his disciples, I know they always felt at peace with him. Right. The only time they didn't feel at peace, I remember once when he was going across, I don't know what lake it was, and they had all that storm pop up and the disciples starting getting worried, thinking they're going to capsize and the water's coming in the boat and they're waking up with Jesus and says, don't you care? We're dying here. You know, we're going to drown. The storm's going to overtake us. And he says, you have little faith. Why do you, you know, and then he casts down the storm, rebukes it, and it stops. He says, why did you have such little faith? So he's kind of saying that you, when you were getting caught up with a lot of turmoil around you, and you're starting to get riled up here, well, you're losing your faith in what Jesus does, you know, for bringing that unity of his unity and that peace. We're losing our peace. We don't want to do that. So it's important that we keep the unity of the Spirit and peace when we're together, which we are, but also try to carry that with you. He's also, it's important because Jesus is saying, wherever you're at, you know, you have the ability and authority to bring that peace in your wherever you're at and cast it down, which he did. That's all I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, Rayon, it's Ephesians chapter 4. We're over into verse 3 now. Go ahead. I don't know who was ahead. Julie, go ahead. Ladies first.
Thank you. I was reading that scripture in context with the verses before it, in that everybody comes from different backgrounds, everybody's at a different understanding of the scriptures and knowledge, and they're all at a different place in their walk, and that we have to be forbearing with one another, long suffering in love, with the lowliness and meekness, and being diligent. You know, we want to be diligent about it, is, you know, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We're supposed to be at peace with all brethren, with all men, and that we are long-suffering with those who are weaker in the faith, that their understanding or their background or their mistakes, their failures, even their sin, that they're trying, they're walking. We've all been called to this, but people you know, we learn from each other. So we have to be patient with everyone as they share their testimonies, they share their confess their sins, confess their weaknesses, confess things. But we want to keep a bond of peace and unity of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ, is, you know, and it's the Holy Spirit that we want to stay in that, you know, remembering where we came from and that, you know, we're not there yet. And just being patient and long suffering with others that, you know, they're growing at their own rate and they're continuing on just as we are. And we just have to be really, you know, keep, like I says, be diligent about, hey, you know, just be long suffering and patient with everybody because everyone's different. Everyone comes from different backgrounds. Everyone's dealing with different struggles, whatever that may be, you know, sin, bondage, overcoming something or struggling with a circumstance or trying to walk by faith and whatever it is. And we just have to really keep that, the spirit of, you know, Jesus, you know, knowing that's Christ in them too, you know, that Christ is in each and every person. So it's like treating them and everybody in that unity of the spirits and want to be peace with everybody. You know, there's no fighting, there's no quarreling, there's no trying to make yourself more important. You know, the lowliness thing is, you know, thinking, I think, is humility and thinking, you know, in the mindset of thinking others better than yourself kind of thing. And that, you know, Jesus is in them and it's like, oh my gosh, Lord, you know, this could be the next apostle. You know, this could be the next, you know, great evangelist or something or whatever, because of what God's doing in them. So that's kind of what was coming to me.
You brought up a good point. I've heard David, when somebody made a statement that was contrary to the word of God, you know, he wouldn't just jump on them. He'd look at them for a few minutes and he kind of said, well, what do you think about this? Is what he'd say. Or, let me show you a little bit on this side and let's see what we can, you know. He wouldn't just jump in there and say, man, you're wrong. Glory to God, you just got to go away from here because you're wrong. No, he would just try to show them in the Word what the Word said. And that's that giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit. So having said that, go ahead, Pat.
Which is exactly what I was thinking. I'm not sure I can add much to what Julie already said, but that was what I was thinking is, number one, he's telling us to give diligence. So he wants us to pay special attention to this aspect, and that is the aspect of keeping the unity of the Spirit. And the thing that jumped out at me is that he didn't say keep the unity of the soul, or he didn't even say keep the unity of the body. He said keep the unity of the Spirit. And that is kind of what I think Julie was saying, is that there's only one, the one thing that we all have in common, even coming from our varied different backgrounds and varied different inheritances and lineage and family conditions and situations and all that, is that we all have the Holy Spirit and we all have the Spirit of Jesus being born again. And the Spirit is what we are to give diligence to unify around the Spirit, because every one of us has a different soul, a different th- thinking, a different mentality, a different perspective. We're all brought up in different conditions. We've all had different effects in our life and gone through different things and reacted in certain ways and whatever. All of those are conditions of our soul, emotion, mind-well emotion type of condition. And they're all varied. Even in families, they're all varied as on an individual basis. And so we can't, we not only can't unify around all of those thoughts or even specific truths, because I can view a particular truth of humility or something like that, and someone else in this group is going to have a different perspective, different thoughts about that very same thing, even about the lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering. I probably have different thoughts than and everybody else in here all have shared different thoughts. And they're all different because God has the only way of expressing the fullness of God is by a varying different groups or different people with different aspects or perspectives of God's truth or God's reality from different directions. And so I can just see that the importance of coalescing around the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, and being willing to accept and with long suffering the highs and lows of other people's personalities or whatever it would be, and be able to accept that through the perspective of all others being greater than myself, allows that the environment to allows that environment I think necessary for the acceptance of everybody in the group, and so I think it's significant that he says to keep the unity of the Spirit, and so I think that's all I was thinking. Just thought I'd throw it out.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. All right, Angelica, go ahead.
I want to share a couple of thoughts about unity. It kind of goes, looking at the opposite of unity, but just, and it kind of will come around circle a little bit, knowing, the Bible says, know no man after the flesh, and that's really, really hard to do, because it's right in front of you. And, even though they're trying your flesh, but the Bible says to see them as Christ, love your neighbor as you love yourself, or, we're all neighbors in the body. And to want all the things that we're believing for ourselves, to want that for them, even though their flesh nature might be, be dealing with some of these things in different ways and that are not easily understood by, some others or whatever. But, I was thinking that, to keep the unity is a battle because, the devil wants to make separations, because the Bible says that, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And so there's power in that unity in the body that is like nothing else. And because it's it's Christ in us, all of us combined, you know, the power of God in greater measure, you know, like the Bible says, you know, until we reach the full grown man, that full stature of the unity of the body. And this is what this Satan hates, because he understands that when the body of Christ comes to unity, that nothing can stop it. And no, you know, no power of his will ever be able to dismantle, you know, what God is doing amongst his body. And so, you know, with that being said, there's separations, that this is our battle. I mean, I know, because I deal with this and all the time, but I believe by the power of God, I'm overcoming in Jesus' name. So, you know, fear of rejection of self, you know, fear of being rejected by God. You know, you're just so afraid that he's judging you, and all these devils coming against you, you know, and what is this fear of rejection really doing? It's really just separating you from God, you know, and rejection. It's separating you from those very people that are sent to edify you so that you can grow in Christ. And, you know, of course, these things come very naturally to some people. You know, it's just like putting on a glove. It fits very well, and you don't even understand how the inner workings of these things work sometimes. And so, you know, we really need to cry out to God for ourselves and for others, because, you know, it's easy, at least for my own, you know, faults in the past, it's easy to look at other people's faults and say, well, why aren't you doing better? I mean, it seems easy to understand, but there are some things ingrained in our nature that really we cannot see. And but God would have it that way so that we can be dependent on each other. And, you know, so there's demons that are, you know, are a sign that, you know, a lot of us have a propensity to be reclusive, you know, and to stay to self. But we don't realize that's faction. We don't realize that's a separation of the body. You know, the Bible says, you know, in Hebrews 10 and 25, you know, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day appearing. And so you can't be exhorted if you're by yourself. You know, you can only grow so much on your own, and because the body is dependent on each part. And so, you know, that's where our warfare comes in. We have to resist doing these things, and we have to resist rejecting, you know, fear of rejection and rejecting the free gift of God, because that will separate us from the body and we will never attain into anything. And so, you know, in us doing that, we in effect are able to come against the Satan's kingdom, which is united. They are united in one cause. They hate us. They're united in their hatred, but we're united in love. And so, but you know, the love will overcome. You know, love is the power of God that overcomes everything. And so, you know, it's of utmost importance, you know, to have unity. And I, for one, can tell you that I have failed in my understanding of this, having always separated myself and my heart and my mind and my thoughts from people as a way of protection. But in Christ, these things are found out, and it's, you know, it's something that has to go. It cannot remain, so that we can be in one accord. And so I just wanted to share that.
Well, that was pretty well said. Thank you so much for that. I guess we can go home now. Praise the Lord. That was good. All right. Andrew, go ahead, brother. You have to unmute, I think.
I was just looking and remembering something that is written in one of Andrew Murray's books, The Master's Indwelling, and he talks about the people in the Church of Corinth And I'll just read a sentence here from his the first chapter here, where he's talking about spiritual and carnal people. And he's saying here, four times the apostle uses the word carnal in the wisdom which the Holy Spirit gives him. Paul feels, I cannot write to these Corinthian Christians unless I know their state. And this is, he's talking about Christians here. And you have people who are not Christians. They're in the world. They don't have their salvation. So you have to expand on this in some cases, because you got people in some denominations, they're not even saved yet. And unless I tell them of it, and if I give spiritual food to men who are carnal Christians, you know, I'm doing them more harm than good, for they are not fit to take it. I cannot feed them the meat. I must feed them with milk. So it's trying to find the state of those other people in accordance to this reference where we're discussing the unity of the Spirit. These Corinthians had carnality. You know, they even had gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, there are some people who think that because you have the gifts of the Spirit, that they, we have it all, you know. We speak in tongues here. And it mentions that in that first chapter there. And he goes through some really good items there that could really help a person in that first chapter of The Master's Indwelling from Andrew Murray. And it was something I just decided to review once. And then I read the first chapter. I didn't finish the book because I think we went over that book here and we went through quite a few chapters, but I don't think we finished it in the past. And it's a real good book, and somehow I got it. So it must have been for free off of the internet, because I didn't pay for any books. And well, that's glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? I think we're going to get a little bit more clarity also of what the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace is as we go on here. There is, listen to this now, there is one body and one Spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your call, of your calling. Now I'm going to repeat it. There's one body and one Spirit, even as also ye were called in one hope of your calling. So what are we talking about here? Well, everything that y'all said is right. Everything everybody said was right. But there's a little more to it that hasn't been mentioned yet. Let me just put it away, another aspect of it. Go ahead, Shirley. You don't have to be afraid. Go ahead. Get it on up there, girl.
Okay. Well, what was coming to me is like, we are all the body of Christ, and we're all different members of the body of Christ. So we have to, you know, just, you know, remember that Christ is in each and every person. And the one hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, we all have that same hope that we can all attain to manifesting his glory in us. And we want everyone to manifest that glory of God, the glory of God, the glory of Christ Jesus in us. That's it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Claire. Then I get this you one, Pat.
The next
verse, which Julie just said, one Lord, one faith, which makes me think of what James says, you know, show me your works and I'll show you your faith. Like, if we have to have the same works of Christ to be in that one body. If we don't have those through the faith that God gives us by grace, then we're in another body. And we are not supposed to be in another body. We're not supposed to be one foot in one and one foot in the other. We can't. I mean, that's transhumanism. So we really need to be, like, we need to be sure that we are in this body that is, that has the fruit and the faith that the one Father gives us. And if that, those things don't line up, either we're not in that body or we are.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Go ahead, Pat. And then I'll get to you, Missy. And then Joe.
So I guess I was thinking that there is one body, one spirit, even as you are all, you were called in one hope of your calling. Just as the Lord gave us direction to give diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit is because of the very different backgrounds of the soul that we all come from. And not only are we varied in our backgrounds and our inheritance, but we are all in different levels or a different states of being transferred by faith, being transferred by manifestation out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Obviously, God has translated us out in our born again spirit, but we are, and has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And that being said, the flip side of that same coin is that he's in the process of guiding us into all truth out of all deception. And we all in spirit and desire and love are all for God, all for Christ, all for the body, all, are throwing our all in, except the areas of our awareness that we, or except of the areas of our consciousness that we're not aware of. Some of those areas, some of those thoughts, some of those things that lie in underneath in our background or in our psyche, so to speak, are still subtly functioning there. And so it is important, and they get smoked out. As a matter of fact, I have something in my life that I was going to talk about, but we all went in a different direction, so I'll wait until another time. However, God just revealed something to me about something happening, you know, one of those areas of darkness resting in me. And so we're constantly seeking God and constantly making that transition. And so the point that I want to make is that there is a final purpose to all of this. There is a goal that we are stretching and continuing to press into the kingdom of God so that we can be conformed to the image of Christ, and that in all that we are able within our own individual self to grow up and mature and be and enter into the fullness of Christ within us. So we're heading for a goal, so to speak. There's an end target, and that target is the life of Christ, freely unbound and functioning within us. And I think later on in this chapter, it speaks about that very thing, growing up into Christ, the body fitly joined together, etc. All coming together, supplying for the need of each other and receiving where we have need, etc. And being all growing up until that body of Christ, that corporate body of Christ, is full of completed individuals of Christ functioning in a fullness. And that fullness is, again, the life of Jesus within us. So I guess that was my only point, is that we are in a process, but that process has a goal and an end to attain, and that is the life of Christ within us.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Missy. Thank you, Pat.
This one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One body. There's only one body. There's only one body of Christ.
And come on, man. You're getting over.
If you add to or you take away from the word, you don't have. You're not part of the body. You've cut yourself off from the body, because the body is not disjointed. You're separated. You're sectarian. You've caused separation in the Bible. I mean, in the body, because you don't have the Jesus of the Bible. You're adding to and you're taking away. One spirit. It's the spirit that guides us and directs us. The body is not going in a bunch of different directions. The whole goal is the one hope of your calling, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what our calling is. You know, to come into the image of Jesus, to become just like Jesus. And that's what I see in that verse there.
Let me just throw something out there if I can. I thought you was going into it, but what about this? Think about this. I'm gonna do it, David. Think about this. What if God had elect people in the Baptist Church of the Burning Bush down the road here, and he also had some elect people in the Church of Christ of the Horse Fence over yonder? And what if he had elect people in the Nazarene Church of the Living God down the road here, and we come and meet with them? Is that what he's talking about, to come into the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace, to talk to them where they are, you know, and give to them and they give to you, but you don't sit there and argue with it? That makes us one. That's the unity of the spirit. What's the spirit? That's the spirit of Christ in us, right? Some of these people have the spirit of Christ in them. And if they have the Spirit of Christ in them, we don't want to get them off on a tangent that you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we know that they need to be in order to overcome and be a 30, 60, 100 fold in that 30, 60, 100 fold maturation process. But we have to do it with lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as also you were called one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. At some point in time, some of these people are going to come into the truth, and they're going to be our brothers and sisters. Go ahead, Joe. That's all I want to add.
I'm not sure I'm going to answer your question, but my, one body is, you have to be baptized with Christ, dead to self. You have to be buried with Christ. You have to be lifted up to be seated in heavenly places. So that's all you have to do to be part of a body of Christ. To be the head of a body, that's Jesus. If a body can't be sick, you have to, as a unit, as in growing, as a unit, as in maturity. And the Spirit, I would say, is Spirit of the Holy Spirit leading the whole body. Faith is a Christ, and then the body is the people who follow him, die to self, take up his cross and follow him and listen to his voice. That's all I say.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? I didn't mean to shut anybody down. I didn't want to do that. Go ahead, Claire.
I don't know that I understand everything you just said, Michael. So I've been reading Acts, and very, very many, many paragraphs start like this. And Paul went into the synagogue and preached, right? Like that's how many, and Rihanna and I were discussing that last night, and we were just saying, that's what he did. I mean, he must have been, it was a brand new thing. It was brand new. Like, Jesus had just been resurrected, and he went and he wanted to tell them because he loved them so much, and he had such a literally eye-opening experience with Jesus that he wanted to share the truth. And so he didn't just walk in and, you know, go crazy. Like sometimes he spent 2 years in a synagogue, sometimes he spent 3 months in a synagogue until he knew that his work was done, and either some were converted or some were not, or they chased him out or stoned him, or, you know, there's very many outworkings to Paul's teachings in the synagogue. But is that what you're saying? Like, I don't.
No, I'm saying, well, yeah, and I'm not real sure what you're saying, but what I'm saying is this, is that you meet John Doe on the street down here and you're talking to him. And you're both are Christians, you know you are, because you said you are. I go to this church over here, well, I have a local fellowship here, you know, and we start talking about Christ, and he starts asking you, well, what kind of fellowship is it? Is it a Baptist or is it a church? And I, you know, and what we tell him is, no, it's a Christ church. We follow Christ. We are believers of Christ. We're disciples of Christ. Well, we are too in the Baptist Church. You know, what I've always done in the past, if they're willing to receive it, you know they're part of the elect a lot of times. And if they are willing to receive, and the way I start out with is I ask them, do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe that the Word of God is the Word of God? And if you believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, then we have unity in faith. And when I ask them, do you believe the whole word of God? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then you hit a subject like baptism in the Holy Spirit or something like that. And you go through the word with them about that. I tell them, go look at Acts, you know, check out Acts and see what you think about it. And then the next time you come together, you know, you'll know real good. You'll know real quick whether or not they're part of the elect, because they want to know the truth. They're hunting the truth. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that everybody in the Baptist church is going to be in heaven. I ain't saying that at all. All I'm saying is there are people in the churches out there that will be in the elect when the time comes. They're all learning. Well, I started out in the Baptist church. David started out in the Baptist church. Now, we didn't stay long, but that's all I was saying. Is you can't just believe every denomination out there is got that religious spirit on them that this is the only way. You know, that's all I was saying. Okay, I don't know who was first. I was talking, so raise your hand if you were first. Okay, Judy, go ahead.
To kind of tag along on what you were saying, Michael, and maybe this will help how I see that and what you're saying, you know, about the body of Christ and, you know, people, there's people everywhere. God has people everywhere. And at a certain time, God's going to grant people to hear the word of God, and they'll hear it. In those, that scripture about he who is of God hears the word of God, and if they receive you, they receive me, and he that receives me receives he who sent me, something to that effect. I'm not exactly sure I got that right, but it's about having ears to hear, even if they don't fully understand everything you might be saying or trying to express to them about something. There's something in them that God has put in them by this in their spirit, that like when I was still in the church system, you know, God gave me the ability to really get into his word. And I know it was a gift, and to really study it and to question it and to understand things, because I was asking him for understanding. Because God is like, I read the Bible when I was young, and it's like, you know, I went to church and all that, but I was like, I don't understand it. So I didn't have any interest in reading it anymore. Lord, give me understanding. This is your word. You're speaking to me and I want to understand it. So there was a time for me when God allowed me to start really hearing and getting engrossed in the word of God. And then I started hearing error coming from the church. The pastor that I was under, when I was listening to him, I started hearing error, and I recognized that I was hearing error, and I was praying that, you know, Lord, you showed me, show him, right? Why am I getting that? And then I was led to Then Leaven Bread Ministries, and I started hearing, you know, what I was hearing being taught on these old teachings. I didn't even know about the Wednesday, Sunday Bible study that was live at the time. And I didn't even really catch that for a while. I was just sitting there reading, you know, listening to the audios, just going, yes, yes, this is the truth. I knew it was the truth. There was that spirit in me that I heard what I was hearing was true. And I think that's what Michael was saying, and what that question is about is, you know, not everyone hears, but there's a time when God's elect are going to hear. Because he's going to reveal himself in that way. And it's all his timing to do it. So the watering everybody does with, you know, talking to people you meet who say they're Christians or the lost or whomever, you know, God can bring that back to them anytime he chooses to. If they're God's elect, they're going to remember something that, you know, you said once, and the seed was sown, the seed was watered, that kind of thing. So I think it's all God's timing, and it's all about hearing the word of God, and being of that same spirit that, you know, you want people to be saved, You know, I think that's the biggest thing. And so you don't want to offend people, but sometimes people get offended for various reasons too, is because they can't hear, and they only hear the religious spirit, or they only hear what they grew up at one point, and that's all they know. And they're not going to go any further until God allows them to repent.
Amen. Well said. Isaac or Angelica, I don't know which one was first. Whoever was first, go ahead.
You can let Isaac go. That's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Stand up there, Isaac, and go.
Yes, sir. thank you, by the way, and hello, everybody. But
hi, buddy.
To what you were saying, Michael, about people from that are going to come out of different denominations and come from these aspects, if this makes sense to everybody. I heard David talk about this, and it made sense to me. I was like, man, that is good. There's a prophecy in the Bible about it. So I wrote it down, but I'll read that to you. Isaiah chapter 11, right? It's Isaiah 11, and it starts at 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people that shall remain from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he will set up an ensign for the nations. Now here's where it gets really good. And he will set up an ensign for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and they that vex Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. So the thing about that, which is cool, those are different areas. And there's other areas of Christianity, denominations. And when we, I'm trying to put best to my remembrance, so bear with me here. But I think the way he put that, or David put that, was when they come together, there will be no vexing or envying of the truth of from denomination to denomination. Oh, this is our way. This is right. Oh, well, our denomination is part of this truth. Well, we know it. We're all going to be in one accord, which is going to be the bond of peace, you know, in one spirit, which is in one accord, since that's what we're talking about. And being that we're going to be one corporate temple, right? One temple of God. The kingdom of God's within us, right? So I think that sums it up, or that kind of, when David said that really made a lot of sense to me. I just wanted to lay it out there because it just come to my remembrance. Thank you, Jesus. All right, thanks.
Amen. Up in heaven, that's not going to be the church of the burning bush of the Baptist apostolic trinity. Ain't gonna be none of that. It's just gonna be the church of Jesus Christ. It's the body of Christ. All right, go ahead, Angelica. Good. Thank you, Isaac. That was good.
Okay, just quickly to add to, you know, I guess maybe put it in different words. It's just the same that, you know, Jesus was sent. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and God knows that are His. The Bible says, and so in that situation that you explained, that you presented, Michael, that, you know, in those instances, they're God's elect, just like we were. There's people there that have not quite been pulled out yet, you know, and they're going to come out because they're God's elect, and, you know, he's predestined, you know, he's ordained them to come out. So, you know, but we don't know who they are. So when our demeanor is that of unity and of faith and of Christ, we win them over, you know, and they will hear, you know, and we'll find that place of unity in our communications with each other. And, you know, we have to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves in doing that. We have to be tactful because we understand that they have an enemy in their soul that, you know, although, you know, they do belong to the Lord, they've got some overcoming to do. So we have to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is very tactful in knowing how to dismantle their defenses, you know, so that they can hear truth and come into the body, and so that we truly can be one man in Christ. That's it.
Amen. That's exactly right. Go ahead, Claire. You had your hand up a while ago. I love that. She gave you a bouquet of flowers, didn't she?
That's my boy. He gave me.
No, is that your boy? Okay. Well, he's sweet. He's so
But he told her to bring it in because he doesn't want to come in. He's playing. But I wanted to say, like, this is, so that I actually did understand then exactly what you said. So just so you know, like, I'm not on another planet. Like, I'm agreeing with everything. My question is, do we as, like, we, it's not a, maybe it's a question. We need to know, and we need to be led by the Spirit when we're flogging a dead fish and when we're actually dealing with God's elect, right? Like, we need to know because, and we need to be able to leave that in love. So we are going to be persecuted, and we are going to meet people who do not receive this, and that is perfectly fine. And if we, if our delivery is not perfect, I can assure you mine is not. If our delivery is not perfect, God has grace for that. And even like his meekest, most elect person that is most in apostasy right now, my imperfect delivery is not going to stop the truth from getting there. And then the corollary to that is my perfect delivery for someone who is unfortunately just in apostasy is not going to bring them in if they're not. And we have to be okay and willing to walk those paths. And that's where that humility and loneliness comes in, right?
That's what works. It worked with the Lord, and it'll work with us. We have to have that humility, not like I used to do, you know, just slam them with the Word of God. That's that works only on different, on certain people. But that meekness and humility and humbleness always works. Yeah, that's right, Angelica. Servant of God must not strive. Go ahead, George. I was waiting on you.
I get a lot out of the Lord's Prayer there in John 17 when it talks about unity, about he being in the Father and the Father in him and we being in them. And it seems to have a, show some importance about us being a witness to the world, that he's sending us into the world just as the Father sent him. And he's praying for us that we're in the world, but not of the world. But he's saying that he is giving us the same glory that the Father gave him because he loved him. And it just seems that I'm not presumptuous, but at the same time, I'm not going to speak against the fullness of God in each one of us either. And that if God's called us to walk in fullness and to be totally in him and not even be of this world, that we are these new creations, then I would think that, is it a witness just so there's dust on our feet to weigh against them? Or is it a witness to be a light and a beacon to win some of them? And it just seems to me that like these that are trapped in denominations or whatever error, or that if we show forth that glory that he's talking about, and he's saying that his desire is that we would be with him where he is, and that's not where he's going to be or that we will be with him one day where he is, but it's like now, and that there's something about this residing in God, residing in Christ, that makes us different from those who just claim to know him. And that the world, I put those in the same category as the world, because, you know, and God forbid that any of us should miss it. I think that's what we were talking about earlier about our calling, that we're to make our calling and election sure. And just reading, I mean, I can read John 15 through 17 over and over and over, and it'll probably take forever for me to ever really even scratch the surface of it. But as far as unity and understanding some of the reasons for Christ's mission here on earth, it just seems like it's coming down to his last words before he went to the cross, what he was allowing us to kind of, it's just such a gift. I see that that prayer is such a gift for us to know the importance and the love and the specialness about being loved by God. And it just seems like it helps solidify also that it's his plan and not necessarily our striving. So anyway, I can't put it into words myself. I just enjoy it. So that's all I've got.
Amen. Thank you, George. That was good. Excuse me. Go ahead, Mariana. Did you have your hand up? No. Oh, you're just waving. Okay. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? There's one difference between us and the people down the street in the church building is that we are striving to be that perfect Christ-like disciple that he wants us to be. I pray that everybody is anyway, and that we're learning, some of us slower than others, but we all are going forward in Christ. And he's going to use people like us here because of this humility, meekness, long suffering, all of those attributes of Jesus that we've been reading about today. And we have to allow the Lord to do that in us. And that's why we have the filling of the Holy Spirit to give us that power to overcome our flesh and ourself and the world that's around us. You know, one of the things I've heard David say many times in many different Bible studies is that, well, dadgummit, what was it? Go ahead, Missy, help me out here.
What comes to me is I may be wrong, let them grow at their own rate.
Yeah, they grow at their own rate. That wasn't really what I was going to talk about there. Well, anyway, I don't guess the Lord wanted me to say it. Go ahead, Andrew.
Another good saying he used to say is, if you don't understand something, just put it on the shelf.
And it'll come to later. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Well, I mean, no. That wasn't the one I was thinking about, but that's a good one. That's a good one. Praise the Lord. Anybody else got a good saying in David's while we're at it?
he says, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
It says that a lot too, Dave. Okay, Missy, come on.
Driving through a McDonald's drive-thru doesn't make you a hamburger.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I've heard him say that. Amen. Joe.
My first thing I heard from David, but was in 2004. It was, if you're going to play in a shootage, you're going to get if you're going to play in a shootage, you're going to get stinky.
What did he say, Joe?
He was talking about multimedia and or TV or whatever. He says, if you play in a shootage, you're going to get stinky.
Yeah, I heard him say that. Yeah, he has some good ones. Y'all ain't hit the one I was thinking about. Anyway, I'll remember it after I get off, I bet. But anyway, praise the Lord. Anybody else on unity of the Spirit, where there's one body and one Spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Okay. What'd that mean? One God and Father of all. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Does that verse right there just destroy one of the denominations out there? Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say that's opening up another topic. Yeah. We've kind of, it opens up where, I don't know where everybody's at on that. Is anybody here, can I say, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, your understanding of who God is and Jesus is, does anybody here have the understanding that there's a Trinity, and that the Trinity is how the God explains who he is in the Bible?
I don't believe that.
I don't, but I don't know if anybody else is here today that does that.
Oh, I thought you said you did.
No, I just don't know if anybody else is. And if there are, I don't want to offend them right now.
Barry and Madeline's got a big mouth open there.
I think there is Trinity, but it is not.
Go ahead, Sunil.
I think there is Trinity, but it is not as the church seems to say.
Okay, what do you think?
I think there is Trinity as the Bible in the Old Testament supports it. In the sense that I'll get you the verse. I forget it. I think it's Isaiah 43 or 48. I don't remember.
Well, this is a topic we can go over some other time. This is not what we're going to do tonight. And that's a good topic too, because there might be a lot of indiscretion or let me say this. There's a good teaching on site. It's called, what's the name of it, Dave?
Oneness, Trinity, or Truth.
Or Truth, yeah, that's it. Oneness, Trinity, or Truth. But we'll go over that some other time. Right now, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. It was what I was talking about, which means that God the Father is over all. He's over Jesus. He's Jesus's Father. He created Jesus. Therefore, oneness is out the door. Go ahead, Andrew. That's all I was going to say about that.
Yeah, can I just give the verse so that, you know, if you could look it up later, it's okay with me. You could look up Isaiah 42:1 and Isaiah 48:16. Thanks.
Okay, Isaiah 42:1 and 42:16.
48:16.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that Thursday night. 42:1. Okay. All right. Who had the hand up? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Sorry, Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking that all these alls, there's a nice book online. It's called Sovereign God. And that sort of describes that verse very well. But, you know, there was a time I was at a bus stop, okay? And I started to talk about the Lord and the Bible. And I think we were reading that book from those people from Russia when they were trying to get out of Russia. And they asked me where I was baptized. And I paused for a second or two. So about 10 seconds later, I said, I was baptized in water. And
good
and then they smiled at me and they went, no, what denomination do you belong to? And I paused for about the same amount of time. And then I said, what's a denomination? And these five people all did an about face and they just left. They thought I was nuts. Anyway.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man. I'm sure glad they didn't stick around because I didn't have that verse yet.
Amen. Well, it looks like we're out of time. Well, praise God. It's been a good night. Thank you, Lord, for all of the people in South Africa that are yours are protected. They don't have to worry about a thing. You're going to provide for them if they need be and protect them. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And if you have to translate them out of there, Lord, bring them here. We don't mind. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you that everybody here is going to get a good night's sleep tonight and just wake up praising you, Lord. Because that's going to be the first thing on our minds in the morning is you. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for all the healings. Thank you for all of the deliverances. Thank you for all of the lining up with the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Good night, y'all. Bless you.